What are we starting with this week?
A Spotify update.
Correct. So we are not doing a normal Spotify update. I want to give a little shout out to someone on Twitter called Lulu, who has been listening to SciGuys enough that they have listened to 17,865 minutes of SciGuys. Does anyone want to hazard a guess at how many? No calculator.
Okay.
How many hours that is?
How many hours? So it's that divided by 60, surely.
Yeah.
So
I reckon that's about 30 hours. Just under 30 hours.
Yeah, that is... that is just another hour. 300 hours. That is 297 hours.
Sorry, I said 30 hours.
Did you say 30? No, yeah. Just under 300 hours. 297 hours, 0.75. And then how many days do you reckon that is?
12.4
days of SciGuys.
That's only 2 weeks of SciGuys.
Incredible. Yeah, and 119 episodes. That's almost every episode.
Great work.
Incredible. Wow. Well
inspiring.
Done.
Inspiring.
Thank you very much.
Not you.
But... thank you very much to the person that listened.
Sorry.
But before we get started on this episode, I want to let everyone know about our merch that we just launched last week.
Yes.
Oh, we did.
Was it last week? Yeah, it was last week.
It was last week.
How lovely.
Last Sunday, exactly a week today from this being posted.
Yes, it is. So you can find the link down in the description. We have got beanies, we have got enamel pin badges, we've got t-shirts, and we've got calendars all for you to get. And if you want a 10% discount, go and join our Patreon. Lovely little 10% discount for our patrons. Isn't that nice? It's very nice. So before we start, I've got one more question. One more question to ask you before we get on with the show. Who is your favorite superhero? Let us know over on YouTube. Get down to the comments, or you can tweet us, or you can send us an Instagram, whatever. Just do it. Go to our YouTube and comment and let us know what your favorite superhero is. Shall we start the show?
Pizza Dog.
Stop.
From Hawkeye.
Start the show. Hello and welcome to the SciGuys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird, and wonderful stories from the science world. I'm Corey, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Jamp, and Luke Cutford.
Hello!
We just took a big swig of coffee.
Wait. Did it work?
Yes, I am now energized.
This week, we're making an arachnid adolescent.
I got it.
Yeah? Do you want to guess what this is?
Spider-Man's a teenager. Yes.
Look, have you ever watched a Spider-Man film?
I've watched the Andrew Garfield ones.
You wouldn't be able to tell from the Raimi films, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, he was a 30-year-old man. But he was in high school. He was a 30-year-old man.
He had glasses on and some bad outfit.
The opening scene is him chasing after a school bus.
True.
Presumably
because his son
has forgotten his lunch or something. But no.
You might assume he's a teacher, but he's not.
That is the difficult thing. In that first scene of Spider-Man, trying to figure out who the teacher is. Because when they're all at, like, you know, the, is it Oscorp? When they're all at the, yes. like, you know, at the lab, which one of them is the teacher? Because they all look like...
the kids are 30 and the teacher's 40. It's
like, teacher's like, maybe I'm 35. So we are talking about Spider-Man today. One of the best Marvel heroes. And why are we talking about Spider-Man?
There's a Spider-Man film out.
But no spoilers, of course, as you've seen from the title, probably, unless it's been taken out. No spoilers, because as we're recording this, we haven't seen the film yet.
Oh, it's coming out in like 3 days, isn't it?
Yeah, it's coming out in 3 days as of the time of the recording.
You probably haven't seen it either.
Yeah. No one's seen this. Great, fantastic. So let's just launch on in. What I want to do today is talk about Spider-Man, Spider-Man's powers, and maybe a little bit about how to make a little Spider-Man.
Mm. He's not real, right?
He's not real.
No, I didn't think so.
No, he's not real.
No.
But there is real science.
Okay.
Spider science.
Yeah.
And Spider-Man science. So let's get into it. Cool. First off, Spider-Man. You know who Spider-Man is. He was first published in Marvel Comics Amazing Fantasy number 15 in 1962. His name is Peter Parker. He is an orphan who lives with his aunt and uncle. He gets bitten by a radioactive spider and develops spider powers. His powers are as follows. He's got super strength. He's got super flexibility. He is sticky. And he has his spidey sense. He also is a very smart boy. He made himself some mechanical web shooters with some web fluid that he can do lots of things with, like swing or wrap people up or make an impact web where it just shoots a pellet and explodes on
shoots you.
See, now this has always confused me. Are there some versions of Spider-Man where he doesn't make mechanical web shooters and some where he does? Because I've always been confused as to which parts are meant to be science and which parts is meant to be the radioactive spider.
In the Raimi films, he had like web blood or something that he like shot out of his wrists.
So he had organic web shooters in the Raimi films. But that also was in the comics as well, because he started to mutate more
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and it's been in a, it was in the comics for a little bit. Yeah. But then I think that was also one of the same comics where he turned into a giant spider. And then the giant spider died, and from that came Peter Parker again. He birthed himself out of a giant spider. Look, comics are weird, so we'll not get into it. Let's just take Spider-Man as being a boy who is sticky, is strong, is flexy.
He was sticky before becoming Spider-Man.
And has no...
See, I just think that if the origin story of Spider-Man is being bitten by a radioactive spider,
yes,
and then you go on to make mechanical web shooters that shoot webs, which is pretty much the main thing about spiders, is that they make webs, and you and your supposed origin story is that you were bitten by a radioactive spider, but the thing that makes you most of a Spider-Man you just invented, then you're more like Sticky Man with web shooters.
Sticky Man.
You are ultimately like Spider-Man in the same way that Iron Man is Iron Man, but he didn't get bitten by a radioactive iron.
Well, that's the thing. But Peter Parker is like a genius. So that's his whole thing. Like that
but
is
that's Iron Man's whole thing.
It's lots of heroes' whole thing.
But isn't yeah?
Luke, I think we're getting I think we're getting bogged down in something that doesn't matter.
I care. Does the original Spider-Man make webs from his hands?
No.
Oh, he always makes mechanical web shooters.
Yeah, so initially, the initial Spider-Man makes mechanical web shooters.
I see. Yeah. So he is Sticky
Man. He can name himself whatever he wants.
Sticky Man.
I actually do have the... Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah.
If you want an overview of what he can do. Spider-Man does whatever a spider can, spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out, here comes a Spider-Man.
I would argue that he doesn't spin the web. The mechanical web shooters spin the web.
Luke, stop.
Okay. Well,
he operates the machinery.
Sure.
Is he strong? Listen, bud, he's got radioactive blood.
I don't call you cameraman.
Yeah, but if you drove me somewhere, you'd say you drove me somewhere. You wouldn't say the car drove me somewhere.
Okay. Fine. You win.
Pointless discussion.
So Spider-Man, correct.
Is he strong? Listen, bud, he's got radioactive blood. Can he swing from a thread?
No, he doesn't.
Take a look overhead. Hey there. There goes a Spider-Man. That is a little overview of his powers. Radioactive blood. You see?
I don't think it's actually bear that radioactive, in mind. Is it?
Probably a little bit. Yeah, actually, I think it is.
I think probably all blood's a little bit radioactive, is it not?
Everything's probably
tiny
a bit.
Yeah.
But I think at one point, I think maybe at some point in the comics, he didn't want to have sex with his girlfriend or wife because he was worried that she would die from the radiation.
Hmm.
No, that was it. Yeah, I think someone got sick from his radioactive spunk. Yeah.
Oh. God.
Yeah, I think that happened. Comics are weird. So spiders are arachnids. They're arthropods, obviously. So that includes scorpions, mites, ticks. Those are all arachnids as well. They've got eight limbs. You know that, right? Scorpions have eight limbs. Spiders have eight limbs. And there's over 45,000 known species of spider. There could be tiny, 0.11 inches long, up to 12 inches, so a foot long in sort of foot span. It's the Goliath spider. A tarantula?
Ew.
That's what Australia's like, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is it Goliath spider Australia?
I don't know where it's from.
Okay.
So let's move into the spider powers, because basically what I want to do is see if we can create some approximation of a real life Spider-Man. So I think we can do it. I think we can, honestly. So we've got radiation, right? So he's got radioactive blood. What do you know about radiation?
Very bad for you, generally, if you're not
in
Spider-Man.
High doses, yeah.
It is, yeah. You've got two types, non-ionizing and ionizing radiation. Now, non-ionizing radiation is the electromagnetic spectrum?
Mm-hmm.
Light.
Yeah. Light is non-ionizing radiation. But usually when we talk about radiation, we talk about the ionizing stuff. So alpha, beta, and gamma radiation. So gamma rays being, the stuff that gives Bruce Banner his Hulk powers.
It's very hulky.
Yeah. Yeah. Really, it just makes you very...
Green.
Dead.
Oh, unless you're Hulk, you're the Hulk.
Yeah. I wouldn't try that one out. So alpha particles are basically just two protons and two neutrons. So they are basically, it's kind of like the nucleus of an atom without the electrons. Those are ionizing. They can mess you up, but they can't pass through skin. So if they're on the outside of your body, you're probably fine. If you eat them or inhale them, you're not fine. Beta particles are small, fast-moving particles with a negative electrical charge. Those come out of a nucleus during a radioactive decay. Those can kind of pass through skin sometimes, but they can't really pass through clothes or aluminium. So if you've got that, you're good. Gamma rays will pass through pretty much anything that isn't lead. They're dangerous and not good. X-rays will also pass through you as well, which is why we use them. They aren't very good at passing through bone, which is why X-rays
Or pick up your bones.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And so the health effects, I've taken this from the EPA. So ionizing radiation has enough energy to affect the atoms in living cells and damage your DNA. It's not good.
No.
So your cells can repair damage to the DNA. Like, they're made to do that. But if they can't repair it quickly enough, or the damage is too much, then the cells will probably just die. Or you'll have some mutations, things like that. The mutations are probably not enough to make you into a spider, spider's man. Probably more going to make you ill.
Yeah. Is there anything about the idea of radioactive blood that is actually maybe good? Or is it pretty real world, very definitely a bad thing?
I wouldn't say good. I will say possible. So Chernobyl. You know, there's animals living there. If you eat, say, plants that have like sucked up a bunch of radioactive material, then you will become radioactive because some of the plants are becoming you. They're getting to your body.
Yeah.
You'll become kind of radioactive. So the animals at Chernobyl, they're a little bit radioactive, or a lot bit radioactive, actually, some of them, which is why we can't just take some of the dogs from Chernobyl and be like, okay, come away.
Yeah.
They are doing that now with some of the puppies because they're not, if they pass sort of radiation tests. Mm. But there aren't any really known benefits to it. It's just
they're definitely a product of like its era, where like radiation was this new thing that was interesting and sciencey sounding. Like we have like quantum something nowadays. Yeah. We have like the quantum effects of, wait, what would be an example of that where we've used the word quantum to mean something that's nothing to do with quantum
rounds.
Actually, well, this is how it's worked in superhero comics, and like I realized this maybe 10 years ago or something. It started off as radiation. That was the cool new thing. Everything was radioactive this and radiation that. That's where people got their powers generally, right?
Mm-hmm.
From that kind of thing. Even the mutants in like the X-Men, the idea is that they were children of the atom sort of thing. Now, after that, it started getting into genetic engineering, right? There's always been technology all the way through, right? But they got into genetic engineering. So that's why Spider-Man in I think Sam Raimi's film, I think that wasn't just a radioactive spider. I think that was a genetically modified spider. Definitely in the Andrew Garfield films. Like, they genetically modified the spiders. So genetic modification, the DNA, that's the whole new sort of power thing. Mm-hmm. And we're moving into the sort of quantum space. So that happened with Ant-Man, where pin particles are now, they're quantum, and it can take you into the quantum realm, which is the microverse in the comics initially.
Yes.
So now it's all, we're using quantum because that is the new frontier. So we've moved from sort of physics to biology back to physics. Basically, whatever the fluorinating thing that people don't fully understand yet, that is always where powers come from.
But do these, when comic books and other sort of things like this might use cutting edge scientific ideas like quantum or like radiation or whatever, does it actually teach the audience anything about, I think maybe Ant-Man sort of teaches about quantum effects, kind of. No? Or does it just sound cool and it's like a story thing that you can get away with a bunch of stuff because you're saying quantum?
If you say quantum, you can make it do anything. Ant-Man's whole thing is shrinking, but maintaining his mass, except for when it's convenient for him to not maintain his mass.
Maintaining his like his full mass?
Yeah.
Okay.
They explicitly said that.
Right.
But except also, that doesn't always apply. He can ride on an ant.
Yeah. He can jump off a pencil and it doesn't break.
Yeah. So people, the idea that he maintains his mass is that he kind of maintains his momentum. So a punch from Ant-Man, instead of being like a bullet, it's like being punched by a grown man, but from the size of
concentrated
an ant.
In a very tiny space.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the pressure on your skin is the same as being punched normally. But
that's not true because it's a tiny hand.
Oh, I know, exactly. It doesn't make. Ant-Man plays fast and loose.
I mean, it would be a bullet. It would be if you had the pressure of a full size hand in a tiny bit. That's like space junk levels of.
Yeah.
Like.
And they do that. I think they have Ant-Man has done bullet stuff in the films.
Yeah.
Well, not Ant-Man, but shrunk people have done bullet stuff in the films before. But they play fast and loose. They change the rules based on what looks cool.
Yeah, whatever they want to do.
Exactly, which is fine.
Yeah.
So.
Being somebody who writes scripts, I would never let myself get away with that shit.
No, you wouldn't.
I would always just be like, but it doesn't make any sense.
The issue that they've had is they've explained it. They need to just not explain it.
Okay.
Or you then need to over-explain, and then there's this whole thing of pin particles now, not just making you bigger or smaller, but also controlling mass and like being these subatomic particles that control mass and all of these weird things, basically.
Or it's a variant pin particle that does something different.
Exactly. No, exactly. So it's just... If you explain too much, then you need to write yourself out of the corner you've written yourself into.
Yeah.
So The radioactive blood thing, you can absolutely have radioactive blood. Probably not good for you in any way, but you can definitely survive with radioactive blood. Okay. There's, I mean, the whole thing, that the reason we don't live in, you have people living in some parts of sort of the area around Chernobyl, is not because you will literally die. It's just it's going to increase your cancer risk. Mm-hmm. And we're saying, oh, that's a bit too high. It's a bit too much of a risk. But you literally could just live there if you want to and not really suffer many health effects. You know, you could be fine. And so that's the radioactive blood. The spider sense. Now, Spider-Man's spider sense in the comics is precognitive.
Yeah.
Right? It's magic, mm-hmm. basically. It's mystical.
Yeah.
It's because he's connected to the web of... God, what is it? Not the web of time. It's the... some big web, like mystical web, which is why the Spider-Verse happened. Comics are weird.
Is it based off the fact that, like, if you go to, like, get a fly, the fly seems to, like, know you're coming? But that's to do with, like, pressure, air pressure and stuff?
Yeah, exactly. So it's based on two things. It's based on spiders having, like, standing on their webs and knowing mm-hmm. where something is if it... like by hitting their web.
Yeah.
And also the fact that, spiders are... So it's actually, the way that it works is that spiders have hairs all over them, like thousands and thousands of hairs on their exoskeleton. And they're called, I think, trichobothria. And basically, whenever air moves slightly around them, it makes the hairs like wiggle a little bit. And that, like, the spiders then know that something's going on.
Yeah.
It's kind of like how whiskers work, I guess.
Yeah.
Basically by air current. So if you do this, obviously the air is going to move a little bit. The spiders will sense that. It's based on that, but spider sense is... spider sense in the comics is
not
like...
not explained very well.
No, spider sense in the comics is explained.
Oh, in the comics,
Oh, yeah, in the comics it's fully explained as, like, he can defuse a bomb by... taking a he could take a pair of wire clippers, right, and go up to a bomb and be like, okay, I'm gonna start cutting this wire, and the spider sense will go off. He's like, I'm not gonna cut this wire. I'm gonna start cutting this wire. Spider sense will go off. I'm not gonna cut this wire.
That's so specific. Mm.
It just alerts him to danger.
Why is that? In what way is that spider sense?
It alerts him to danger. No, he calls it his spider sense because it alerts him to danger. It's just a sense that he has that's like an extrasensory danger's coming.
Okay.
Sure. Okay. I'm gonna start calling him Sticky Mystic. Man.
Sticky Mystic.
That's what he is.
It's comics, man.
Sticky Mystic Man, who's good at creating like mechanical web slinging.
Oh my god,
that's so funny.
Okay, very briefly, because this is going to be a bonus episode as well. So we're going to do a bonus episode looking at the Spider-Man villains and seeing how we can make those real. I just quickly want you to tell me what the powers of the Shocker are.
Of the
Spider-Man
what?
Villain, the Shocker. What are his powers?
I don't know who the Shocker is.
Yeah, just guess.
He's the electrocution.
Nope, that's Electro.
Does
the Shocker uses shockwaves by. Well, he basically punches real hard.
He's got a big fisty thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He punches like the floor and then the shockwave goes through to you?
Or the air.
Or he just punches the air?
Or the air.
You're watching through the MCU, right? You'll see him come up.
Yeah.
Soon.
You'll see him.
Well, good for me. So he just like, if I wanted to punch you, I could just stand here a meter away from you. I could punch the air and I would make a shockwave that hits you in the face.
Pretty sure he could do that, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you know. It does happen, doesn't it? Like, bombs go off and then the shockwave breaks things. Kind of makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, the invisible woman. Wait till you find out everything she can do.
She invisible.
She is.
She can be a woman.
And then also more.
And a woman.
Yeah. Yeah. So, moving on from that, there is a suit that can give you sort of spider sense. So basically what it is, it was developed by Victor Matavisti, who was at the time a PhD candidate at the University of Illinois. So this was in the electronic visualization lab. Essentially what it is this sort of helmet that senses sort of electronic signals. It can basically sense things. It senses things that you wouldn't be able to sense yourself.
Yeah.
So it could sense anything. Sense the electromagnetic spectrum, so you could have it doing like visual light, you could have it doing like outside the visible spectrum, and essentially it's got a bunch of mechanical arms that depress into your head to basically tell you something's going on in say that direction, something's coming in that direction. And conceivably then you can understand that if you're able to do that, then all you should do is just build a helmet that is like, you know, 360 basically 360 degrees sensing stuff.
Yeah,
that's just gives you a tap.
Exactly, well, that's nice.
Yeah, without the super reflexes, of course, utterly useless. But
doesn't help you defuse a bomb, though, does it?
No. Spider sense. So your Spider-Man spider sense can.
That's more like the film spider sense, where it's just like something's coming at me.
Yeah, for now. Yeah. Oh man, come on! The way the films are going, they're absolutely going to make the spider sense like bomb defuse. Yeah, absolutely.
Cool.
Absolutely.
With the Peter Tingle.
Yeah, election fraud.
Well, no, because...
Who to vote for? My spider sense.
Because it's more than just that. Because he uses his spider sense in Spider-Man Far From Home to tell what is illusion and what isn't. Which isn't just what is dangerous.
Yeah, true.
It's literally what is an illusion and what isn't. Like, his spider sense is... like. There was even someone in the... There's a version of Spider-Man in the comics, I think Assassin Spider-Man, who trained his spider sense so much that he was able to sense danger days in advance using spider sense.
Is there any examples, somewhat like Ant-Man being the weight of a man sometimes and also being the weight of an ant sometimes? Is there any times when, like, although Spider-Man has access to this spidey sense, he also doesn't see things coming?
Yeah, but you can explain that away very easily.
Okay.
You could have him ignore his spider sense or, like, be preoccupied or not necessarily... Because the spider sense doesn't tell you exactly what the issue is.
Yeah.
It's just like, danger. He's like, oh, wow.
It's a sense.
He going. Yeah, so, you know. And also, writers can just forget.
Yeah.
Because they've been writing the comics for ages. And when you've got something like Infinity War, for example, even though Kid does have spider sense in Infinity War... and in Civil War, Spider-Man's always had spider sense. I don't know why people say he doesn't, just because they don't explicitly say, oh, spider sense.
Yeah.
He's always had spider sense. It's like, just watch the films. Like a writer, if they're writing a lot of characters, could forget to add that bit in, you know, be like, oh, what if Spider-Man gets punched, but forget that he's got spider sense. Like, if realistically spider sense doesn't make you completely invulnerable, it just stops you from being ambushed. Probably.
No. What spider sense does is it lets you get Spider-Man out of some situations that are inconvenient for your writing process.
No. I think it's rarely used like that. It's used really interestingly.
No, of course. I understand. What I mean by that is that if you've given a character this incredible sense, that which helps you solve some problems, it throws up other problems, which is now your character is too brilliant. So you might have situations where, like, you want something bad to happen to your character, and reasonably Spidey sense should have told them it was coming.
Then you have Spidey sense, like, I'm talking like peak levels at some points, right? Like, just because, like, if I say Spidey, like, at one point Spider-Man was able to do this, there's a very good chance that he was able to do that, and then that was retconned because, I don't know, like, something happened in the comics. Like, at one point in the comics, Spider-Man wasn't even Spider-Man. It was Doc Ock in Spider-Man's body, but it wasn't really Doc Ock in Spider-Man's body.
That's very good.
And by the way, I mean, we're going to get to this because, like, there is some crazy Spider-Man stuff in the comics. You think he's, like, this happy-go-lucky fun? He is strong enough to... Well, that's the next one. Let's get past this. And okay, so Spider-Sense, you can make a suit that senses stuff and depresses your head, right? And you could put that in a helmet, and it'd be pretty lightweight. It's
easy
technically
enough.
Possible to have some kind of Spider-Sense. So moving on to Spider-Strength, Spider-Man is strong enough to punch someone's jaw off. Just clean off their face. This happened in the comics when Spider-Man had his body overtaken by Doc Ock, which, comics. And Doc Ock didn't know how strong Spider-Man was. So this guy called the Scorpion, who had everything armored except for his lower jaw. And Doc Ock was just, like, done with fighting. He was like, I'm sick of this. Clocked him, and his jaw flew off. He just exploded his jaw off his face. Yeah, Spider-Man is pulling his punches every single time he fights.
Yeah.
So he has the proportional strength of a spider. What do you think the issue with that is?
Well,
anything.
I mean, like, every door he goes through should fly off the hinges.
Well, he can control his strength, but I mean, what's the issue with the phrase proportional strength of a spider?
I don't know. It seems pretty rational to me.
Oh, okay.
Spiders are probably stronger than humans per square inch or mass.
But why is that?
What do you mean?
Why are spiders stronger?
Because the square rule, like the inverse square rule.
Exactly. So the square cube law, essentially.
Square cube law.
Yeah. So basically what happens is weight increases with volume, right? And
oh my God, he's going to be really heavy.
No.
Okay.
No. So weight increases with volume, and the cross-sectional area of bones and muscle, those are proportional to strength, like structural strength, right? So the reason that ants and spiders are so strong, like ants can lift many times their body weight. Spiders, I think, can hold 170 times their body weight, like with their stickiness.
Yeah.
This is not because these animals are built to be incredibly strong. I'm pretty sure if you shrink a human down to the size of an ant, they would be stronger than an ant. Like, it's the reason that they're stronger is because strength is to do with the cross-sectional area, and weight is to do with sort of the weights to do with your volume. So area increases basically slower than volume increases, right? So something that's right. very, very small, if you just start scaling that up, right? Its weight would increase like much faster than volume.
Yeah. This is why his
weight would increase much faster than the area.
Insects are small. You don't get gigantic insects because they wouldn't be able to get the enough oxygen through their skin.
Exactly.
Because the cross-sectional area is not growing as fast as their mass.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. So the surface area is what you. So the surface area is basically what you.
Sorry, yeah, surface.
Area. Yeah, surface area is what you need to take into account when it comes into insects being able to get enough oxygen in. Mm-hmm. But their volume is increasing faster than their surface area, and there comes a point where their surface area just can't support that volume.
Yeah. Mm.
And it kind of goes the other way, wherein the reason that insects can have such spindly little legs that aren't beneath them is because even though, like, if you were to scale that up, they would be too heavy for their legs to support them. Mm. At that size, it doesn't really matter, right? Do you get mm-hmm. what I mean? Basically, yeah. The square cube law is the fact that something that increases by sort of cubes, like to the power of 3, mm-hmm. increases much faster than something that increases, like something that's squared that increases. So, like, if you think about dimensions, you've got like sort of one dimension, which is just kind of like basically like a line, like something like a sort of, you know, like a line. Then two dimensions is area, so that's mm-hmm. like that's something squared. So, like, think about it in centimeters, right?
Yeah.
So if you want to measure a line, you use centimeters. If you want to measure area, the area of something, you use centimeters or square centimeters.
Yeah.
If you want to measure volume, you use cubic centimeters, and it's going to increase at a different rate. So that's why spiders are stronger, not because they're like, that's why spiders are proportionally strong, because not because they're stronger animals, just because they're really small.
So what is the problem with this then?
It means that him having the proportional strength of a spider isn't anything to do with spiders, right?
And it's to do with his size. It's to do with the size of spiders.
It's just to do with the size of spiders.
Not the fact
it's not
the spiders.
Yeah. Spiders aren't like mechanically or physically incredibly strong animals.
Okay.
You know?
So what they should have said is like he has the proportional strength of a small thing relative to a big thing.
Yeah, I mean, like, you could you could say he's got the proportional strength of a spider. That's fine, but it's got nothing to do with spiders.
Yeah, he's like got the strength density of a spider.
Yeah,
but he is a big thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Just stop at super strength.
Yeah, he's super. Yeah, he's really
got
strong.
Super strength.
Yeah,
just stop there.
But he is really strong as well. Like I said, he could punch someone's jaw off. I'm pretty sure he could take a punch from the Hulk. He could explode your head if he wanted to.
Oh, really? Oh, he's also got this proportional strength of a spider in those that horrible way, in terms of his own resistance to force as well. So, like, he can be punched by something.
Because
isn't there a... Well, I think the older ones, the ones before Andrew Garfield. Or
Tobey Maguire.
Tobey Maguire, yeah. There's, like, he stops a train and then he falls off, like, an intersection. He falls off, like, a bridge onto the floor and then he spiders, like, slings along the floor. And I'm like, whoa, how are you surviving that?
Put it this way. In Avengers Infinity War, Captain America takes a punch from Thanos and knocks him out, right?
Yeah.
Thanos's punches are strong enough to take the Hulk out. Spider-Man takes a punch to the face from Thanos.
Yeah.
And is good.
Gets slammed into the floor by Thanos as well.
To be fair, he's wearing the Iron Spider armor.
True.
Right? He's wearing the Iron Spider armor, but we know that that's not enough to stop Thanos from, like, murdering Tony.
Yeah.
You what?
Huh? Spoiler alert.
Oh, no. I mean in Infinity War when he gets stabbed.
What?
Have you not seen Infinity War?
I don't remember any of Infinity War.
Well, then that's not my fault. It came out years ago.
Yeah, that's fine.
Three years ago.
Whoa.
Thanos is strong, okay? So what I'm saying is Spider-Man is really
spoilers.
Strong. And that's an issue. But that's an issue, though. So how are we going to make someone strong enough? Well, what you could do is use a soft exosuit. So they kind of mimic human biomechanics. They're not like exoskeletons. They're not hard. They are soft. And there's one of them that basically expands, kind of like human muscles. You run an electric current through it, and it expands, and then it contracts again when you stop running an electric current through it.
Yeah.
So it can be quite lightweight. It can make you quite a little bit stronger. The idea is for soldiers to use it when they're carrying heavy backpacks, so that they can be basically they're using less of their own energy. So you could use that, and it wouldn't be too heavy, right? And you could conceivably engineer something that makes it that is much, much stronger. Strong enough as well to stop your arm from ripping out of your socket when you decide to swing from a building, because.
Oh yeah, the force of that.
The force. You're falling, aren't you?
Yeah. You're falling, and then you're not falling
with
entirely. Imagine bungee jumping, right?
Yeah,
but instead of wearing the whole harness, they just tie it to your wrist.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. You don't have a wrist anymore.
Yeah, because Spider-Man definitely reaches terminal velocity sometimes. Like he skydives. Yeah, 100%, yeah. Basically skydives at one point in one of the movies.
Yeah.
So that's going to probably do some damage to your arm at least. But he's got the proportional strength of a spider, Corey. I think you're forgetting that.
But this is to do with his super flexibility as well. So he's very flexible and he's very resilient to that.
Yes, he is.
Basically, you can explain him anything.
Yeah, what a fun plot twist it would be if he like skydives, web slings, and then like the rest of him just falls to the floor.
His arm just
swings through New York.
What I really want is for some kind of superhero thing to show someone being like having a superpower that doesn't have all the other extra superpowers that you need to make that superpower work. So like, do you know how if you have super strength, you need super invulnerability?
Yes.
Right. I want to see someone be like, oh man, I'm super strong, and then go to stop a car and just break all of their bones.
Yeah, this would be everything. A great comedy movie.
Right?
We should write this, Corey.
It'd be absolutely fantastic.
Like you get one of the superpowers, but all the other ones you have massive vulnerabilities, which are just increased by the fact that you have the superpower.
Yeah, so like flight. So someone wants to fly. This is great. Someone wants to fly, but they can only go at like certain speeds before, one, they start to lose oxygen.
Oh, yeah, they start
to pass out and then they fall.
Oh, God.
Or like, you know, like they can't, like if anything's hitting them, they don't have an invulnerability.
Yeah.
So like even like insects and stuff, that's just going to hurt. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, even insects.
Because this has always confused me about Iron Man is Iron Man has no superpowers, right? Mm-hmm. He's just a rich guy who's really good at building things. And sometimes he like falls down and he like lands on the floor really hard with a big like blonk noise, but all of his organs are still accelerating downwards, so they just go and he'd just be like a big goop in his suit.
I think, well, there's physically no way for that to be there's physically no way for someone not to die in that situation. I think sometimes they explain it away that there's like some kind of like something in the suit that absorbs the shock.
Yeah.
But this is something that happens with all superheroes. So do you know when Superman catches someone that's falling from a building just before they hit the ground?
Yeah.
Oh, they're dead. They would go through his arms.
His arms would slice them into three. They're not surviving. Like, I'm sorry. That is not... Like, it's baffling that the sort of media has made people think that, so long as someone catches you, like, it's hitting... People think that hitting the ground is what kills you.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's the force it's of,
velocity,
like... It's basically your speed changing from whatever it is. Well, your velocity changing from whatever it is to...
basically nothing.
Something else. Yeah.
Straight away.
It's the deceleration. It's the impulse, really, that kills you. It's that like, sudden stop.
Yeah. And
that's why if someone's falling from a building in a superhero film, and they did this in Iron Man 3 when they were falling from a plane, you've got to slow them down gently.
Yeah.
Or it's exactly the same as hitting the ground.
And isn't it funny that your brain has such intuitive understanding of some of physics. So like when you're doing VFX, you have to get your physics right in many ways. Otherwise your brain just goes, no, well, that doesn't look right. But then for other parts of physics, like you're falling from a building and someone catches you, your brain has no intuitive understanding of that.
That makes complete sense though. If you think about it, we don't often fall from buildings and survive. But when something falls, right?
Yeah.
Oh, well, okay. I'm going to drop my phone into my hand.
Wow.
Right, if I catch my phone, it's going to be fine.
Nah,
but if I drop it onto the table, Yeah, but if I drop it onto the table, it's going to be, if it doesn't have a case and stuff, it's going to be less okay. That's why whenever I drop something from a counter, I kick it. Like every single, like I catch it, like I make sure it lands on my foot because my foot is a softer landing than the ground.
The hard floor.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it stops things from breaking, hurts my foot, but it stops things from breaking usually.
I hope I never drop a knife.
Quick, catch it with my foot.
Put it this way. I have lost some toes and also split some toes, so you know we're even.
Still got the same amount of toes. They're just much thinner.
Look, I had a really fat big toe to begin with, so and I think the reason for that is that in our model of physics, our model of physics doesn't explain everything. It explains exactly what we need to understand.
Yep.
So in our kind of general sense of physics, if something lands on something kind of soft, usually it is going to be fine. If you catch someone that's falling, usually they're going to be fine.
Yeah.
Right?
I think this would be great for the superhero film we're going to write with somebody who has one superpower and not the other ones. If you'd have like super strength and they catch someone from a falling building and then the person just turns to mush. Oh. They did technically catch them, but
God.
Just loads of really dreadful outcomes that point out all the flaws in superhero movies. I think we'd be really, you'd be really good at this because you've watched lots of superhero movies.
Watched like every superhero movie.
Let's do it. Like,
I would love it. I would love that. Let's do it. Let's do it. Super speed, and then you pass out from the G-forces. Like, because you accelerate too much, and then you pass out, and then like you're going at that speed, and you just like.
So what you need is you need to write. We need to write out all the superhero powers, and we need to create a bunch of characters, all who have one each, and then figure out a way for them all to work together, so that they can still save the world. But it's really funny in the process because they all don't have each other's superhero powers.
There are so many X-Men like this that have some powers, like they're mutants, so they've got some powers, but not the result. The other one, so a laser
super
eyes,
stretchy, imagine... but your bones don't stretch.
super stretchy, but you can't. Contract again. So once you stretch,
like a bee that stings someone but has to die.
Yeah,
you're like, oh, I gotta save this person, but I will now have a 30-foot arm.
Or like super stretchy. Oh no, that's it. You can contract, but you can't stretch. So someone can stretch you, but you can't stretch yourself. All you can do is contract.
Very good. So right. People can turn you into like a big parachute.
Yeah.
But they have to do it themselves.
Yeah, and you've got to then
pull yourself stretch me out.
Oh, stretch me out quickly.
So moving on to spider silk.
That's actually what your skin's like, isn't it? Wow. If you're not watching the video, get on YouTube and watch super stretchy skin.
Yeah. People keep on saying, don't say in the comments I've got EDS. I don't think I do. It's just stretchy Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. Oh. It's a connective tissue disorder. Pretty sure I don't. Yeah, but you're not stretching your skin there. Oh, maybe you are. Because this is like, it looked like
this
you're pulling
the
slack.
Goes for me. Yeah. Oh God! Oh! Whoa!
This doesn't even hurt.
It's incredible.
Like, it's not painful.
No, it's amazing. I wonder if that's going to mean you'll be quite resistant to having wrinkles in older age.
And maybe I'll have more wrinkles.
Maybe you have loads of wrinkles.
I don't know.
You'll be all saggy.
I don't think I will. I refuse to.
We'll
some
find out.
Scooby Doo stuff.
I don't think I'll age. I refuse to. I flat
it's like
out refuse.
Cassandra in the first series of Doctor Who.
Oh my God! Immortal, but you don't stop aging.
Oh God!
You just don't die. That's
from Wolverine, just like.
Oh my God! Yeah, no, Wolverine, right? So like, imagine that. Like, you're Wolverine, but you're Jewish, and they do a bris.
Yeah.
And they're like, did we forget to do this? And they go back and do it again, and they keep on doing it again and again. And the foreskin just keeps on coming back. Just won't stop.
For God's sake.
So, on to the spider silk. Now, Spider-Man's web fluid, the way that it works in the comics is that it's this highly compressed liquid that when it comes into contact with air, it turns into a solid sort of fiber. It is very sticky, but only for a very short period of time. And the ends are sticky because they spend less time in contact with air.
Yep.
And that's why he can wrap people up with it and not get stuck himself, all that sort of stuff. And they usually degrade after about an hour or so. Although there is a fun part in the comics wherein Doc Ock, Spider-Man gets his body back from Doc Ock after a while. And Doc Ock had made Spider-Man's web fluid last longer.
Oh,
and so
handy.
Yeah. So, but sometimes Spider-Man uses his web fluid to like stick him as close to himself. Like, so he stuck his jeans to himself to stop them from falling off.
What?
1 hour later.
Look, don't ask why. He just webbed his jeans to himself because maybe they were going to fall off. I can't.
Doesn't he make
why.
Like... impromptu hammocks with webs for him and his girlfriend.
Yeah.
What if they just fell?
Well, it's after an hour they start to it starts to dissolve in air.
Right.
He's not going to lie in it for an hour.
They might do.
Well, if he does, he'll remember. Gory.
What if they fall asleep?
It's probably got longer lasting web fluid as well. So there's lots of different ways that the webs can work. So there's lots of different settings for it, all of that sort of stuff. But anyway, so Doc Ock changed his web fluid. So he got his body back. He didn't know that Doc Ock had changed his web fluid. He webbed his jeans to himself, and then it was stuck for a long time. Like, he had to show up to, like, a little meeting, a little Avengers meeting, I think it was, with a pair of jeans on and a Spider-Man suit. He just couldn't...
That's funny.
Yeah, it was great. Also, there's an image of Spider-Man in a Fantastic Four outfit with a paper bag over his head.
Yes, the bombastic bag man.
Yeah. So that's because they took the Venom symbiote off of him.
Yeah.
And they didn't have any... He was naked.
Yes.
He didn't have any clothes. Yeah. So there you go. Lots of cool Spider-Man outfits for you to play with. But the spider silk. That's his web fluids in the comics and in the films, obviously. But spider silk, what do you know about spider silk?
Real spider silk?
Yeah, real spider silk.
It's stronger than steel.
Per
volume.
So yeah, like when people say it's stronger than steel, it is in some senses stronger than steel. But obviously, you can make a sort of building out of steel. You're not going to make a building out of spider web. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Spiders might.
They do sure. often.
So it has a stronger tensile strength. Than steel. I'm fairly sure. Yeah. So the tensile strength, so newtons per meter squared of spider silk is 5 × 10⁹. And steel is only 1 × 10⁹.
Whoa! Ooh, yeah. 5 times stronger.
Yeah, and the breaking energy for spider silk is 1 × 10⁵ kilograms, I think. Joules per kilogram. And the breaking energy for steel is 5 × 10³. So it takes a lot more energy to break spider silk. And also the sort of elongation at the break. So the percentage that it elongates before it would break, I think, is 35% to 50%. For spider silk and 8% for steel. And basically, I'll just say this as well. The tensile strength is basically the maximum load that a material can support without fracture when it's being stretched. So basically, how much weight can something take stretching it before it snaps? So that's, in those senses, spider silk is stronger than steel. It's also stronger, I think it's stronger than Kevlar as well, or it's not stronger than Kevlar. It's got a higher tensile strength than Kevlar. So spider silk is this like really awesome material, and we're trying to basically figure out ways that we can use it.
I think we talked about this before, that there's some attempt to make like worms make spider silk, or like some bacteria secrete spider
it
silk.
It was goats.
They put it in goats.
Goats, yeah. That's it.
Yeah. Do you know, remember why
I
we
always
put it
mix
in goats?
Up goats and worms.
Very similar animals.
Yeah.
Remember why we put it in goats?
I can't remember. It was episode 11. I know that. Go listen to it.
Was it so that you get it out of their milk?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you get out their milk, but why would you use goats and not just get it from spiders?
Quantity?
Yeah, I don't know. Other than quantity.
Spiders, they don't like being farms because they don't like each other. They will eat each other. They will just cannibalize each other a lot.
Goats are quite friendly in comparison.
Oh, right. Yeah, I think you said they're quite friendly. And I'm like,
in comparison.
Yeah, no, goats are. No, I thought you were saying that spiders are friendly. Goats are much friendlier than spiders. Yes.
Yes.
So we're trying to figure out ways to like use naturals to make sort of natural spider silk. But also what we're doing as well is finding ways to sort of mimic spider silk using man-made materials.
Mm.
So when we do that, we can basically try and take all the properties of spider silk and apply it to different things. So there's ideas of potentially using it in concrete instead of steel beams, ideas of using it in medicine. So it's been around, like using spider silk is like, it's a very old thing. We've been using it for a long, long time. So I think indigenous Americans were using spider silk as fishing line in World War II, apparently, or by the time of World War II, spider silk was being used as crosshairs in sort of the sighting part of telescopes. Yeah, I know, right? Thousands of years ago, people were using it to stop bleeding and heal wounds.
What, like as a bandage?
It says the ancient Greeks were using it to stop bleeding and heal wounds, so I presume it's like sort of bandage or suture or something like that. But it's like this really strong material, like, and if you can get some of it, it's pretty good. There's also obviously lots of different types of spider silk as well. There's like dragline silk. There's like, they use it for lots of different things. In the same way that Spider-Man has lots of different types of his web fluid, you know?
I feel like spider silk is probably the one we're most likely to be able to make in the real world, because it is ultimately just a material with properties, and like it's not like as unlikely as true spidey sense or radioactive blood being a good thing, or being able to swing at massive speed and not have your organs erupt inside of you. Ultimately, it's a material problem, and we do know things in the real world that have sort of those properties, like actual spider's webs.
Yeah, I mean, I think the issue with the spider, with the webbing and the web fluid, is the fact that it's how much he has in there, because it's so compressed in the little capsules.
Yeah, and he doesn't run out very often.
Oh,
he runs out in the comics. He's run out in the films, like, I think once.
Right.
No, a couple times, actually. He's run out in most, in all of the Spider-Man in the films, apart from...
But he still... Run out. He has quite a lot. Yes, he does run out eventually, but it's not like he's got a backpack full of it.
No, exactly, yeah. Yeah. Whereas if you're going to do this realistically, the amount of webs that he spins, you would need to have a whole other person just carrying your web fluid for you.
Either that or... the actual webs, that like the material would have to be so strong and you wouldn't actually see the webs. They'd be extremely thin.
Yeah.
And he just has a very small amount. Like he has a small amount, but it goes a long way.
Exactly. And it
would look like he's flying because you couldn't see it.
It is difficult though, because I mean, I think the width of the webs in the comics, I think that amount, that kind of width should be fine to support a person. If it was, say, steel, like a sort of steel cable, that would be fine.
Mm.
You know, because they're not, they're not that thin. They can be quite thin. It depends on the artist, obviously. But yeah, it's a tough one. Like, conceptually, it is possible, I think, but the specifics are where it starts to get a little bit murky. You know?
You also have to always, the thing you attach, like, because we're talking about the strength of the web, mm-hmm. but also the thing you're webbing to has to be strong enough to take your weight, which isn't necessarily a given.
Oh my sure. God. Well, that's where his spider sense comes in. When he lost his spider sense briefly, he wasn't able to web sling properly for a bit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it's like he uses it more than people think, you know?
Right.
Yeah. It's because web sling is like, okay, we think about web sling as being this fun, easy thing to do. Easy, right? We think about it as this fun, cool thing that Spider-Man can do. But ultimately, yeah. there's a lot of things that need to go right.
Yeah.
So you're, as you're saying, he needs to shoot it at something. One, the aim needs to be perfect. Like,
yeah. I guess a tenth of a degree off and you're going to miss your thing. Probably.
Absolutely. And think about how thin
the... You need to have above you, firstly.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, it's always, if you see Spider-Man swinging from something, you don't know what it is, it's a helicopter. Always a helicopter.
But also has to come out at great speed to get to the height of a helicopter.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think he can shoot at 60 feet, maybe. I think it was 60 feet is his sort of limit.
Those are some low-flying helicopters.
Yeah, but he's usually high up.
Okay, yeah, that's convenient.
Well, if you think about it... Like,
high up with loads of helicopters around him.
He's in New York City. There's plenty of helicopters there.
Well, yeah.
In the city.
There's plenty, as in there's probably quite a few in the sky. But also, New York City's quite big and they're quite far away from each other.
So what they mean is that basically, if you see a mistake in the comics where Spider-Man is swinging from something, you're like, what on earth could he be swinging from?
It's a helicopter.
It's just a helicopter.
Or a cloud.
At one point, in Endgame, you see him swinging
from... A passing pigeon.
Oh my God, so many dead pigeons. In Endgame, you see him swinging from Giant Man's arm in the final battle.
Oh, wow. Spoilers.
Oh, yeah.
Luke, this film is 3 years old. Okay?
I don't even know what Giant Man is. What is Giant Man?
Giant Man is Ant-Man when he gets big.
Oh, spoilers.
Luke, you've seen Civil War.
I've seen Ant-Man. I just didn't remember they got big.
Not in the first one.
Oh, God. Spoilers.
You've seen Endgame. I know you
He's
have.
He's got big in like at least four films by now.
Okay.
One... Two, Maybe three.
I didn't even know he was in four films, I'll be honest.
He's in exactly...
He's in four.
Four films.
Okay.
Dear me, man. This is disappointing.
Don't worry, I'll forget it all by the time I actually watch them.
I know like you will. I'm not worried. So, so Spider Silk has got a lot of really awesome properties. Obviously, it can be kind of... It's quite elastic. Mm-hmm. It's really tough. And I'll just give you... I'll let you know what toughness is when we're talking about like materials. So toughness is how much energy something can absorb and deform without fracturing, right? So basically, how much energy you can put into something. And it will just change its shape slightly and not fracture.
Mm. It's almost like elasticity.
A little bit.
Kind of, yeah. And I think elasticity is its ability to
return
deform
to
and then return to its original
shape. Yeah, I just wouldn't have thought of toughness as meaning that it can take energy and change shape. That's really interesting.
Well, sort of take energy without breaking is essentially it. It doesn't... So spider silk does this thing where actually if you like apply some energy to it, some of it gets lost as heat. So it stops it from having to deform as much because basically instead of, you know, obviously like the energy can't be created or destroyed. So the energy goes into the silk and some of it gets lost as heat and the other stuff like deforms it slightly, but slightly less energy is deforming it. So if you think about it, like you could hit a spoon off of like a table or something and the spoon won't break. But the energy, like, you know, you can put energy, some of the energy is going into the spoon. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, so it's basically hitting something with something else and how much energy can it take before it starts to break. Yeah?
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool. So spider silk can take a lot of that. Also in water, it like kind of shrinks and it changes the mechanical properties of it, but it kind of like shrinks into itself and it changes its sort of structure. It's called super contraction. And basically it can be affected by humidity as well. So there's lots of cool things that can be done. There's lots of cool properties of spider silk. Also, the fact that it's made out of protein and it's not like there's no sort of allergic reaction to it. So it means you can use it in sort of medicine. I'll give you some uses for spider silk. So they say that you could probably make parachutes out of spider silk. You can make sort of like a bulletproof vest out of spider silk. You can make clothes out of spider silk that are more breathable, more lightweight. Better absorbing water and are more resistant to UV radiation because initially there are spiders that are nocturnal and their webs are really crappy at absorbing UV radiation. But when spiders started to go out during the day, they evolved to have webs that are pretty resistant to UV light. Which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
You can also use spider silk, in sort of building bridges and buildings. You can also use it to replace plastics, apparently. So
I assume this is all theoretical. This is all theoretical.
I mean, yeah. Some of it, they've done some of this sort of stuff. Like, sure. As in spider silk, like proteins, all that sort of stuff. Yeah. So they've, some of this has been done, but, you know, like the replacing steel and concrete and stuff like that, that's obviously a ways off.
What kind of thing is it? Do you have any information about, like, how resistant it is to sort of like flames, for example, because you obviously would imagine steel in a bridge is quite resistant to fire. But then I would instinctively would not think that spider's webs are, but that's because they're always so thin.
Mm. I think I've got some information on this. The spider silk has a good stability at 200 degrees centigrade.
Cool.
But its structure will be destroyed when the temperature goes beyond 300 degrees centigrade.
Okay, so less strong than steel.
Less strong than steel in that respect. But then, obviously, if it's steel covered in concrete, how likely is it to reach really high temperatures if the ice
right.
concrete is burning?
It's an internal thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Interesting.
No, so I mean, and there are good properties of it. It's just very cool material, which I think is really interesting. By the way, like I think it's cool when we look at sort of natural. Because natural materials have basically evolved to be to work in interesting ways, and if we look at natural materials and then try and take from that, we always get some really good results, you know. Especially when looking at even looking at animals and the way that they do things, it could be really, really beneficial.
It's funny how much of an effect the invention or discovery of steel has had on human civilization, and spiders have just been doing much better this whole time.
I was thinking about that. when I was researching this, it almost annoyed me that it's just like spiders have just got this whole thing that they just make out of their butts. Yeah. Like
they're just like pooping on their own, one single one of them.
Yeah.
They're pooping it out.
I want to draw a picture and then they can just sit on it.
They have like a ton of different types of silk as well. Like just within one spider, they make like eight different types.
Wow. I thought you meant there were different ones for different spiders, but
Well, so for different purposes. So if you've got web building, dragline is the kind of one that they have coming, like they have just
over the river?
Out of them.
Is it the one that spans over the river?
So the dragline silk is the one that they've got coming just behind them.
Oh, like, I see. Yes, that's how I get spiders out. I always like just go slightly behind them and go whoop. And then they hang from your finger.
Exactly. Inside. It's incredible. Like there's so many. Oh,
they're
so
always pooping it out the back just in case they fall.
Yeah. That was mad. It's crazy. that's kind of spider silk. I mean, so conceivably, you could potentially make something that is an approximation of Spider-Man's web fluid and all that. I don't really think it's necessarily possible, but you could maybe instead have him shoot ropes of a very strong material and just soak him back in.
Yeah.
You know, he could do that.
With something sticky on the end.
Something sticky on the end. Exactly. Yeah. And speaking of sticky, let's talk about his wall clanging ability.
Oh, yeah. He's got tiny little hairs on his fingers, isn't he?
Well, that was in the...
Oh, that's in the Raimi films.
That's in the Raimi films, yeah. In the comics, it is ridiculous. Okay, Spider-Man's sticky. Can you think of any problems about Spider-Man being sticky and why maybe he shouldn't be...
Because then he can't pick anything up ever.
He can turn it on and off.
Oh, that's convenient.
Well, no. It's spiders can do it. Spiders can do that as well.
Can they?
Well, spiders aren't like if spiders were constantly as sticky as they are, they wouldn't be able to move their feet.
Really. That's true. I mean, I've just never thought about it. How do they turn it on and off?
We'll get to that in a sec. I want to go through the Spider-Man stuff first.
We'll just spit some web on and go.
What was your question?
So Spider-Man, wearing his spider suit.
Yeah. Because he's not sticky. He's got a suit on.
Exactly.
So how's he sticky through the suit?
I don't know.
Magnets.
He developed mechanical sticky gloves.
Exactly. No, Spider-Man's suit is... And actually, you'll see that in the MCU films. The Iron Spider suit, which is made of nanotech metal, he's not as... that has something else that makes him stick to stuff.
Because he
slips off of stuff wearing that. Spider-Man, he is so sticky that basically nothing will unstick him. Like, it takes... The Hulk wouldn't be able to unstick him from something. Like, if anytime Spider-Man... Like, someone pulls Spider-Man off of something... They don't pull Spider-Man off of the thing.
They pull
the thing breaks.
Yeah.
Like he's always got parts of it on himself.
Yeah.
So
in the first Amazing Spider-Man, he accidentally gets stuck to a woman's shirt, and he has to accidentally rips it off her. Wow. Very inappropriate.
Great work, Hollywood.
Like he'll get stuck to a wall, and the wall will break before his hand comes off.
Yeah.
It's incredible. And in the comics, there was another Spider-Man, a clone of Spider-Man. I think it was Ben Reilly. or Kane. Oh God, like I can't remember. Spider fans, please don't get mad at me. There was a version of Spider-Man that would go around and leave people with what they called the Mark of Kane, which is where they would do this.
That's the thing from Supernatural.
Come closer. They'd put their hand on someone's face and then rip their face off.
Oh! I didn't need to imagine that.
Yeah, but I'm saying this because Spider-Man is a horror movie character. Like, Spider-Man is a horrifying character. Like, he could do scary, scary things.
Yeah.
And he's just your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Yeah, like Voldemort Spider-Man. That'd be so interesting.
I don't want to see an evil Spider-Man. Like, actually, no. Spider-Man. Do you know what I want to see for the next What If? I want to see Spider-Man, like, being full-on evil.
Yeah, what if Spider-Man was evil?
Yeah.
What about what if Spider-Man was extremely lazy?
He just did nothing.
Like, just like, to the fridge, pull it open.
Oh, he's done that in the films.
Yeah, I'm sure he has.
Yeah, into
but
the
just all the time.
Yeah. Into the Spider-Verse.
And then someone tries to pick him up off the sofa to get him to do something, and he's, like, stuck to the sofa. And they pick the entire sofa up, or bits of sofa come with him.
That is, okay, then how about this? We do Spider-Man and Hulk living together.
Yeah.
And it's like an odd couple thing where the Hulk is very clean and Spider-Man's very messy.
Wow.
And it's like, oh, Spider-Man.
It's just like Eddie and Venom.
Get up. And he's like, no, that's like a gay couple.
That's the next
well, Spider-Man and
situational
Hulk
comedy like WandaVision.
Man, we should get onto Disney Plus for this, honestly. We should really send them an email.
We'll do all your shows. Come on.
So, yes, Spider-Man is sticky. He's very sticky. And it's kind of this hand-wavy, not really scientific explanation because ultimately it wouldn't work through all of his clothes. But he is as sticky as they come all over his body as well. Like he can stick his elbow to something. It's not just his hands, his feet. Like he can lie on a vertically on a wall. Mm. He's a sticky boy. But spiders, how do they do it?
Little hairs.
You're right.
Well, Jamp was right.
Just like the Sam Raimi film.
Yeah.
That's probably where he got the idea.
Exactly. It's like little hairs on little hairs. So their hairs aren't just... So they've got some hairs on their body, obviously, that we spoke about earlier that are used for, like, sense air currents. They've got other hairs that they use to stick to stuff. Do you know how that works?
Is it the electrostatic effect?
Yeah, it's van der Waal forces, yeah.
Van der Waal forces.
So,
yeah.
Essentially, what happens is they've got, like, tiny little hairs on their feet. And then those hairs have got, like, tiny little protrusions on them as well. And they're very, very, very small. So what that means is that you've got a huge surface area. And on basically, at this sort of, like... you look at sort of the molecular level, there are these tiny forces called van der Waal forces, which are kind of like they make stuff a tiny little bit sticky, but it's very easy to they can be broken very easily. It doesn't take very much energy to break them. But when you have a massive surface area, you've got more contact, so there's way more of those forces, so it can basically make you stick to stuff. That's kind of what geckos use as well. And the way that they can kind of get rid of it is that, like, pulling one way, like, so pulling directly up is really difficult, right? It won't come off.
Do the back first.
Exactly.
Up slightly and then the front afterwards.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of like a Post-it note, right? So you can peel a Post-it note off. But, like, if you're trying to, like, or like a suction cup as well.
Yeah.
You know, like, kind of like that. If you try and pull it off straight away.
Kind of. Suction cup, you have to introduce air into a suction cup to get it off.
But what I mean is like in more the motion rather than the principle.
You have to like peel it off.
You can't tug a suction cup off the wall. You have to do an edge first.
Exactly. You got to edge it first before you get it off.
No.
You do?
Yeah. No. Is van der Waal's forces...
No, I want you to say it. You say it for me, please.
No, you don't.
You've got to edge it before you get it off.
You don't have to edge anything.
It's really interesting. I've read something a while ago that was talking about how like insects, like... In terms of the experiential world, insects basically live in like what would essentially feel like a different universe because they're just affected by different forces.
Mm.
They're affected by like the force of like their legs getting stuck to things, and gravity is essentially irrelevant to them because they are so light. And so like they're affected by like if there's a tiny drop of water, they're going to get stuck to it.
Yeah.
They can't get out of it.
Yeah.
But like, so imagine that world where like a drop of water about the size of you will stick to you and you can't get away, but if you fall you'll be fine.
That's why insect wings are mental, because insect wings for fairy flies, for example, like one of the smallest, I think they're insects, one of the smallest insects that we know about, they don't have wings that like the way that we think of wings. Their wings look more like kind of like paddles with like sort of like, I guess, like long hairs protruding from them, like individual sort of long hairs. It's really weird. It looks more like an outsplayed hand,
like a frog's arm, like a frog's hands.
Yeah, but without the webbing.
Yeah,
right. So it's like it's just like really long, like sort of like fingers.
Yeah,
and the reason that works is because it's like swimming through a liquid.
Because air is so dense when you're that small.
Exactly, yeah. So it's like, well, like through a fluid, because air is a fluid, like, you know, gases and liquids are both fluids. And it's, because if you think about it, swimming and flying are essentially the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Water is just denser.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's like, water is just more, like, there's more water molecules like around you. Exactly. So you, it's much easier to move through that. And yeah, it's absolutely mental. Like, insects live in this tiny little world, like in this totally different world. Arachnids, all of these kind of little bugs live in this different world, which is why it becomes really difficult for us to make ourselves as sticky as Spider-Man. But we kind of, there's kind of a thing that does it. So in 2014, you might have heard of gecko gloves.
Oh, that sounds familiar. Did we talk about this?
No, I don't. We might have touched on
maybe.
It. But basically, someone at Stanford made these gloves that kind of use these Van der Waal forces, but the surface area that they, like, the way that they work is ridiculous. They've got this sort of they've got this property of them wherein when you press them down in this sort of particular way, it increases the surface area that's in contact with that surface. And obviously they've got all these tiny little protrusions and everything, and it can make you stick to literal glass, like a sheer surface. You can stick to glass and climb up glass, but also like sort of pull yourself off of it. And the issue with it is obviously that, like, again, you'd need a way bigger surface area. So it's the square cube law again. It's Spider-Man's worst enemy, the square cube law. Your stickiness is based on area, but your weight, how much weight the stickiness needs to hold, is based on volume. So that's why spiders are able to, and geckos are able to stick to stuff. But when you start getting up to human size, you need to have massive, massive pads on your hands and feet to hold yourself on. Like, a spider can hold 170 times its weight from its stickiness. Imagine Spider-Man with 170 people sticking to his back.
Right? He stopped a train, which is probably carrying 170 people.
I mean, Spider-Man could literally take 170. Like, Spider-Man is, like, if take, like, 170 people pulling on Spider-Man wouldn't pull him off of something, I don't think. It would break, it would break the thing.
Yeah.
So, so like, it's, that's the issue, right? So if you wanted to have like Spider-Man like gloves, they would need to be really, really big. But this kind of got around it by basically just changing how much of the sort of like surface is touching this thing, and like really basically just having these adhesive tiles that are covered in this sort of polymer that is about 100 micrometers long, about the width of human hair, and it allows those forces to sort of basically work to stick you to the wall.
So it does increases the surface area, increases in the same way that the spider's legs
similarly do. And also increases the surface area that's actually in contact with the surface when you're wearing these gloves. And it apparently it can support what they've got right now can support about 200 pounds, and if you were to increase its size, like theoretically, if increasing its size by 10 times would allow it to carry almost 2,000 pounds. But like, so it's maybe technically kind of possible to stick to something. Probably not as good as Spider-Man. Definitely not as good as Spider-Man. But you could conceivably maybe make a suit that is covered. If you work out all the kinks, you could make a suit that is at least a little bit sticky.
Yeah.
Right. And it does the same thing, wherein if you flatten it on the surface in one way, you can still sort of peel it off. If you pull it off in the right way. But if you try and like tug it off in the wrong way, it's going to stay sticky. So that is Spider-Man's powers. And that's how to make a real Spider-Man. So if we put all of this together, we got that helmet. And we wear our soft exosuit.
Yeah.
And we have our sticky gloves. We make a suit out of that.
Gloves, yeah.
And we make some kind of web fluid. I think,
or some retractable ropes.
Oh, yeah, or some retractable ropes.
Yeah. Think then, of the environment, renewable.
Then I think we more or less would be able to make a Spider-Man. Also, go and live in Chernobyl for a little bit, and you can have radioactive blood. Wouldn't recommend it.
Wouldn't help you though.
Hey, probably. You want to look? Some cosplayers are very dedicated. Yeah. So you could conceivably make a really poor Spider-Man. Not poor like Spider-Man is poor, but
he's already quite poor.
A poor imitation of Spider-Man. And that is it. That is the science of Spider-Man.
Very good. Well done, Corey.
Deary me.
If any of you do it in real life, let us know. I don't think you'd be able to, but...
Just make sure you don't say
not the Chernobyl bit. Not the Chernobyl bit.
Just make sure you don't say it as us, because if you try that, you're going to be not alive very quickly, I think.
We don't endorse it.
You're going to kill them.
No, I just mean if you're climbing up a building thinking, I'm invulnerable, and then...
No, I'm not saying climb a building. Just do, all, the, do the get-up. Yeah,
and
do the get-up.
And never use it.
And then don't do anything with it, because it's very dangerous.
If you make the suit and send it to us, I'll send you my sizes, but...
The helmet, the suit, and the gloves.
Yeah.
But and the web.
My point is that you could make something that is... And some approximation of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Probably wouldn't be stopping much crime with it, but, you know.
No.
Be pretty cool.
No, the crime would find you. You wouldn't be able to stop it.
Goodness me. Well, I think that's more or less it. Anything you two want to add? Anything you want to say about the new Spider-Man film that's coming out in a couple of days?
Well, I can't wait.
Or is already out.
I can't wait to watch it. And if it's already out, oh, that was good.
Yeah. What did we all think of it? Let's look into the future. Ooh.
I liked the bit when Spider-Man was there.
I really loved it when Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire kissed. That was really nice.
Oh, yeah. The rumors are true.
It's weird that
that's
happened.
The reason they didn't bring back Gwen and Mary Jane. Because they finally...
Well, they did bring them back to kiss as well.
Oh, those two kissed as well.
Those two kissed as well.
Yeah, they realized that they were the wrong pairing.
Yeah, and then Zendaya and Zendaya kissed as well.
Zendaya and Ned.
Zendaya and Zendaya.
Oh, okay.
Fine. Yeah, Tom Holland was just sat there like, another, another so version. Sad.
Oh. And then Tom and Ned kiss.
Luke, do you have anything to add?
No.
Fantastic. Well, now it's time for the quickfire quiz.
Hey! Dun, 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 dun. Spider-Man edition.
Now, the rules of the quickfire quiz are the same as always. I will ask one question. That is one question between the two of you. The first person to buzz in with the correct answer after I finish asking the question wins. What do they win, Jamp?
A spider Nothing. Suit.
No.
No.
We're not that generous.
You gosh darn right. We're not that generous. It's us three.
Yeah, we're not generous ourselves, are we?
So, my question for you is, Luke, what is your buzzer?
Spider-Man.
Jamp, what is your buzzer?
Does whatever a spider can.
Oh, that's fantastic, because my question for you is, can he swing from a thread?
Spider-Man.
No.
Yes, Luke.
Oh, what? Oh, does whatever a spider can.
Can he swing from a web?
Thread.
Thread. No, he can't. He's a pig. Ooh. Look out. He is a spider pig.
Half points, Jamp, if you want to do, go for the steal.
What was my buzzer? Does whatever a spider can.
Yeah.
No, he can't.
What? No.
Spider-Man, yes, he can.
What?
Take a look overhead. Hey, there goes a Spider-Man.
But you weren't asking us to finish the lyrics?
I gave you the lyrics at the start.
I will be... That's not a
question. What about the thread?
Absolutely. It's too... Okay, fine. How about this?
Something about
I'll ask
thread,
you a second. Yes, there is. I sang that? Yeah.
When?
I'll give you the second.
He sang us the whole song.
I'll give you the second. I'll give you the second.
But he did
question.
Ask us a question, and the answer was the next line.
It is... The question is literally in the song. I'll ask you a second question, which is also a lyric of the song, and you've got to give me the answer, which is also in the song.
Does he do whatever a spider can?
Yes.
Is he strong?
Spider-Man.
It does whatever a spider can.
Yes, he's strong.
No, Jamp.
Oh,
no, he's
weak.
He's not strong.
Is he strong? Listen, bud. He's got radioactive blood.
That doesn't answer whether he's strong or not. He could have radioactive blood and be moments from death.
Don't take it up with me.
He could. That is true.
I don't disagree with you, but that is the answer to the question.
No, it's not.
It's listen, bud. He's got radioactive blood.
Well, I hope he's getting some medical attention.
Probably is, yeah.
Shall Goodbye. We go? I'm thoroughly disappointed by this quickfire quiz.
No, these are the worst questions ever.
No, you just didn't listen to the answers.
Because I didn't care about the song.
Well, you got to learn to listen. That's the whole point of quickfire quiz.
Can I just point out?
Yeah.
The answer to the question, who let the dogs out, is not who. The answer to a question is not necessarily the next lyric in the song.
I know, but that, in the way that the song is set up,
yeah,
that those are the answers to the question.
Yeah, but often they are at best tangential to the answer to the question.
No, but it is like
is
that
he
is
strong?
It's a call and response.
He has radioactive blood.
No,
that's not.
It's listen,
an
bud. He's got radioactive blood.
I get, and as I've pointed out, it's not necessarily an answer to the question: is he strong?
Just because you're not answering it well does not mean that it's not answered. And how about this? Can he swing from a thread? Take a look overhead. Hey, there goes a Spider-Man.
Well, but but that might be someone shot him out of a cannon.
Well, look,
you're flying through the air.
Watch.
Can
watch
he swing from a web? Watch
swinging from a web.
Watch the intro, okay?
Yeah.
It gives you all the added context that you need.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for watching. You can find the full references for this episode in the description. Subscribe for new episodes every Sunday. And why not leave us a nice wee comment?
Oh,
you can
I
join
will.
The community.
I'll be leaving you a comment.
A very extensive comment.
You can join the community over on our Discord. Or you can get some of our merch at normalcitizen.store. Or you can find and contact us at SciGuysPod on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and at SciGuys on TikTok too. Or you can send us
there.
An email at SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
That's SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
You can follow me at NotCory everywhere.
Follow me at Jamkin everywhere.
You can follow me at LukeCupforth everywhere.
Oh, goodbye.
Goodbye, our merch.
Goodbye, our merch.